This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Straight Fire. It's me, Jason McIntyre. Monday morning, September 28th, nearly into the month of October. By the way, fun fact, I decided over the weekend, I know some people do sober October. I am going to go Starbucks free in the month of October. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Loving this podcast, putting so much time and energy into NFL studies. The NBA Finals is coming up. Major League Baseball postseason is nearly here. But that's my game plan, at least for October. But September's still here. We have a great Monday Night Football matchup tonight. I personally am not waking up on the right side of the bed today. We'll get to why later on. The football was fantastic. Just tremendous Sunday. Unfortunately, your boy overthought some games, hurt myself in the big money gambling contest. But I actually won money Sunday because I was nailing a lot of the picks that I should have kept. But we'll get to those later. We've got to start here. The NFC West is by far the best division in football. And right now, folks, if you look at the makeup of the NFC, remember, we thought in August, oh, NFC's so loaded. I mean, you got the Eagles, the Vikings, the Bears could be decent. You know, the Packers are going to be good. The Saints, Tom Brady's here. Oh, my gosh, this conference is so loaded. And lo and behold, 3 weeks into the season, the NFC West is on pace to have four teams, all four teams from the division, in the playoffs. Now, I predicted that three would make it back in August. And of course, silly me, the one team I thought would not make it was the Seattle Seahawks. They are now undefeated, and they've got the MVP of the league. I know you're laughing. Ha ha, Jason, what an idiot. Well, you know what? I let my heart get in the way and think above the head when it came to the Seahawks. Why is that? The Jets traded Jamal Adams to Seattle. The Jets now have Seattle's first-round pick in 2021. Oh, Seattle! They could stink. The right side of the offensive line is new. Russ can't save the day. The offensive coordinator stinks. Seattle's going to struggle. The Jets get their pick. Booyah! And of course, Russ is cooking, setting, I believe, a new NFL record. 14 touchdown passes through 3 weeks. He's clearly the MVP of the league at this point. Russell Wilson is phenomenal. And, you know, if you want to start with the NFC West, like, start with Russ. He is cooking, as they say. I know it's almost become cliche at this point. He's been phenomenal. And the rest of the division, though, is unbelievable as well. The Arizona Cardinals, who lost to the Lions on a last-second field goal, they're still a really good team. Kyler Murray throws three interceptions. And listen, he's a second-year quarterback, and he had a rough game at times. But still, tie game. You know, few minutes left, they just were unable to stop Matt Stafford. You know Matt Stafford, folks. Mr. Backdoor. Matt Stafford can play. He can put up the stats. He got a nice win. And, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are really a strong team that I believe defensively and offensively is going to sneak up on some people the rest of the season. Just to, listen, when you lose the turnover battle 3-0, you know, you're going to lose a game. I did, you know, thank goodness, have the Detroit Lions in the big money contest. They easily covered. Now, the 49ers went to the Super Bowl last year. A lot of people thought maybe there's a Super Bowl hangover and Jimmy G's not that good. And lo and behold, the 49ers JV squad, folks. The 49ers JV team, because everybody's hurt. They lay waste to the flaming dumpster fire that is the New York Giants. And your boy, in an idiotic move, thought, you know what? 49ers got backups everywhere. You know, who's Nick Mullins going to throw to? Danny Dimes won't be forced to hand off to Saquon. They'll just open up the offense. And I was just so wrong on this game. I'm kicking myself. It's one of those games where in the second quarter, when Danny Dimes, that turnover machine, and I will get to Danny Dimes in the NFC least in a minute, but he was terrible. And the 49ers roll in that game. I mean, it was never competitive in the second half for a moment. And listen, if San Francisco, and I know they lost the opener to the Cardinals, and San Francisco has two wins over the New York teams who both stink. So technically, somebody's going to come at me with, do we think the 49ers are that good? They beat the two winless New York teams. And yeah, you can argue that. But remember, the 49ers are so banged up right now, just getting a victory. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to Kyle Shanahan. I'm telling you right now, Nick Mullins, if he's not the best backup in the league, he's certainly in contention. I guess the best backup has to be Nick Foles for saving the day in Chicago. But Nick Mullins is a very competent quarterback. I'm a fan of his work. And the 49ers, they only have one loss. And the other team in the division is the LA Rams. And I'm telling you, folks, if anybody got jobbed on Sunday, it was the Rams. I mean, what a performance they had. They were down 28-3, getting smoked in Buffalo. And at that point, all the narratives, oh, it was just a difficult travel spot for the Rams. They had to fly across the country, play the Eagles, then fly home because of COVID, then fly back. That's just too much. And they looked kind of road weary, down 28-3. And the game kind of flipped on a controversial interception. And then Aaron Donald took over the game. And folks, I know people gush about Aaron Donald, and there's a lot to love. He was an animal in the second half. He was ragdolling Josh Allen, who is a 6'5", 240-pound quarterback, just throwing him all over the field. I mean, it was like he was treating him like a sack of potatoes. You know, like you get the sack of potatoes at Costco and you just toss it in your cart? He was doing that, Aaron Donald, with a 6'5", 240-pound quarterback. You know, remember last week against the Dolphins, Josh Allen like ran over three guys and they're like, oh, Josh Allen's a beast. Go watch the highlights of what Aaron Donald did to him. And it flipped the game and the Rams scored 29 in a row and they are all set to beat the Bills. They're up 32-28. Josh Allen was fighting off Aaron Donald, like face masked him or someone on the Rams, trying to save his own life. And they got third and 22 with like a minute left and they get like 15 yards. It's fourth and ball game. And, you know, it's a hometown call. That's the only way to describe it. It was clear that Josh Allen missed the pass. There was no chance of it being caught. There was some contact, but it wasn't initiated by the Rams defender. And the ref threw a flag. It was total bullshit. I was pissed. And I didn't even take the Rams in the contest. And on the next play, you know, they give him the first down. On the next play, Allen throws the touchdown pass. And the Rams take an L. But that's not a bad L. Okay, this Rams team is good. So think about what I just said. The entire NFC West is going to the playoffs. They are now collectively 9-3, and the three losses, okay? The 49ers lost by 4, the Rams lost by 4, and the Cardinals lost by 3. Their three losses are by 11 points. That division is awesome. And I really do believe they're all Super Bowl contenders. Yes, even the Cardinals. Now, the 49ers have to get healthy for that to happen. But now let me go from the awesome, the NFC West, to the disaster that is the worst division in football, the NFC East. And listen, folks, this division's been trending poorly for a while. And I think what jumps out is the lack of quarterback play. I said all four teams in the NFC West have a positive point differential. By the way, that's the only division in football with that. All four teams in the NFC East, negative point differential. We could start with the Giants and just toss them out. They are total trash. And there is a reckoning coming to the New York Giants at some point soon, maybe by Halloween. So the GM, here's what's going to happen. The GM, Dave Gettleman's going to get fired. But he just hired a coach, Joe Judge, the guy from the special teams coach from New England. And it's funny because, you know, all these assistants from Belichick leave and go to another job. And we know what the track record is. It's not good. They very rarely do they have success. Matt Patricia in Detroit is struggling. I'm not going to go on down the list. Got buddy of mine. He comes through FS1 all the time. I've talked with him about this. Eric Mangini, super nice guy. And for whatever reason, everybody who leaves the nest goes and struggles. And Joe Judge is off to a rough start in New York. And the next question's got to be Danny Dimes. What do you do with him? I heard somebody call Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, the quarterback of the Giants, Danny Loose Change last year. I thought it was hilarious. So now that's what I call him. And the guy's a turnover machine. They showed this stat on the telecast. He's now played 16 games. 11 of those games, he has two or more turnovers. Listen, he was overdrafted out of Duke. He could one day be a decent quarterback, but at this juncture right now, he's not starting material in the NFL. He's just not. He's not ready. He can't handle it. And the Giants, they got a lot of problems on that team. And they're not the only one in the division. The Washington Football Club, they beat the Eagles in the opener. That's the only way they have a win. They were plucky for three quarters against the Browns. They actually led 20-17 early in the fourth quarter, and then Dwayne Haskins just, oh my gosh. Three interceptions. there was, you know, you could tell there was some chatter like, man, is Alex Smith healthy? Can Alex Smith go? And eventually, Alex Smith may re-enter the picture, coming back from that gruesome injury. Haskins, three bad interceptions, too. We're talking about a Browns defense that got shredded by Joe Burrow. Haskins, three picks. They had two fumbles. Led to 24 points for the Browns. Browns score, it was 20-17 early fourth, and the Browns win 34-20. So they own the fourth quarter, and Washington falls to 1-2. But not much was expected from them this year. Let's go to the Eagles quickly before I get to my big take on the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles end up tying the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, this is one that I'm going to have trouble sleeping tonight, okay? I don't mind keeping it real with you guys, okay? I am, for whatever reason, since I moved to LA and, you know, got this job at FS1 and started to raise the profile and get more jobs, and I didn't sleep well last night because of the idiotic decision to gamble on the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a horrendous decision. I was kicking myself throughout the fourth quarter and especially in overtime. Listen, this was the spot to get right, okay? The Bengals let Baker Mayfield just throw all over the field and own them. And Carson Wentz, like, at this point, you've got a question, like, I mean, is Carson Wentz definitely a franchise quarterback? That question has to be out there. He struggled again. Two terrible interceptions. The decision-making is off. And I know that since Frank Reich was on that staff and they went to the Super Bowl and won it and Peterson looked like a genius and everybody starts to pluck from your tree once you win Super Bowls. Belichick loses all his assistants. Doug Peterson's lost a lot of guys. Since they lost Frank Reich, that offense has not been right. It just has not. Reich, of course, having success with the Indianapolis Colts. And in my eyes, I think the Eagles have major, major questions. Like, what are you doing defensively that you can't stop Joe Burrow? What's with the penalties? I mean, the Eagles, and then this one was what killed me, folks. Even though they led 16-10 in the fourth quarter, had a chance to cover, they didn't. They go to overtime, and they need, you get a touchdown, you get the cover. And with like a minute left, Peterson makes the decision to, you know what? Wentz is struggling. Let's just play for the 59-yard field goal. I'm not making this up. They run like running back dives into the line. And they're like, all right, we'll settle for the 59-yard field goal to try to win it. And of course, you know what happens. False start on the offense. Do you kick from 64? Nah, we're just going to punt with 20 seconds left in overtime. And we're going to settle for the tie. Like, that is a complete lack of confidence in your quarterback if you're punting for a tie at home against the Bengals in overtime. I was just crestfallen. I was angry. The Eagles are a tire fire right now. They're 0-2-1, but at least they're not the Cowboys, right? The Dallas Cowboys lose a tough one to Seattle. Now, I know there's some Dallas Cowboys fans are going to look for somebody to blame. Now, you can blame the offensive line. They did not have Tyron Smith. That's a big loss. The defense, I mean, other than the kid Diggs, who played pretty well, the defense was just torn apart. They couldn't stop Russell Wilson. I mean, not many people can stop Russell Wilson. Although, Aldon Smith was out of his mind. What a game from the guy who was out of the league because of substance abuse. I think he had three sacks. Aldon Smith was everywhere, living in the Seattle backfield. But ultimately, Dak Prescott did not get the job done. And I was talking with Rob G about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, and we came to this conclusion. Dak Prescott is Matt Stafford, a great stat guy who stat pads and puts up huge numbers and never can win the games that matter. When it comes down to beating the good teams, Matt Stafford has not been able to do it in Detroit. Dak Prescott has not been able to do it in Dallas. Here's the stat you need to know. After his rookie season, Dak Prescott has gone 6-18 against teams with winning records. He was 6-17 coming into the season, and now with this loss to Seattle, he's 6-18. Everybody wants to blame somebody in Dallas. Let's blame McCarthy, offensive line. Oh, this defense is beat up. Ultimately, Dak Prescott has got to win some of these games, and he's not doing it. And Dallas now drops to 1-2. They have a win over a winless, hopeless Atlanta Falcons team, where they needed a historic comeback to win by one and a miraculous onside kick. And they have a loss to the Rams where Dak could not get the job done on the final drive. Michael Gallup with the pass interference. And now they have a loss to Seattle where Dak could not get the job done on the final drive. And again, I know what you're going to say. Well, Jason, you just hyped up the Rams in Seattle. I sure did. And Dallas lost to them because Dak Prescott on the final drive could not get over the hump. I'm not killing Dak. He's a good quarterback, stat padding. Matt Stafford, good quarterback, stat padding. You got to win the big games. And Matt Stafford delivered, as I said earlier. Matt Stafford delivered, got him down the field in the final drive against Arizona, and they got the game-winning field goal. Dak Prescott, he hasn't been able to do that this year. So those are the big picture takeaways from the NFL on Sunday. The NFC West is sending four teams to the playoffs. The NFC East is an absolute dumpster fire. All right, so remember, folks, subscribe, rate, and review. Straight Fire would thank you for all the listening support. Big numbers last week. You guys really delivered, and you are spreading the word, which we love. We will get to the best bet in Monday Night Football later in the podcast, but and we will get to NBA as well. Obviously, we've got to talk about LeBron for a couple minutes. But I quickly want to look. We didn't do this last week, and I regretted it. I want to look ahead to week four in the NFL and the lines that are coming out for some of these games and a couple things that jump out at me. Right off the top, and I don't want to be too emotional, okay? The New Orleans Saints do not look like a Super Bowl caliber team, okay? If not for a Tom Brady gift pick six in the opener, this Saints defense has basically gotten rolled up in three games. The Raiders, Rob G's Raiders, moved the football really strong in the second half. We just saw Aaron Rodgers without Davante Adams and not getting a huge game from Aaron Jones really hang 37 on the Saints in New Orleans. Now, I got to say, Rob G, I don't know if you noticed this, but for the first time really in this season, there was a moment where, man, a home crowd would have made a huge difference. When Alvin Kamara had that beast mode-ish touchdown, I think he went like 55 yards on a screen pass, broke like six tackles. The Superdome would have been going berserk. People would have been screaming. It would have been crazy, okay? The Packers get the ball back. Aaron Rodgers might have to go to the silent count. Aaron Rodgers might have to call a timeout or somebody false starts. It would have been a huge advantage for the Saints, and there was no advantage. And what happened? Packers got the ball back, and it was like, oh, we're rolling. And of course, you know, the Saints stopped them on fourth down, and you're like, oh, Saints got it. And then Taysom Hill fumbles. Bottom line, Rob G, I'm kind of pulling back on the Saints a little bit. And I'm going to tell you right now, they now have to go to a Detroit team, and we've seen tight ends in the last 2 weeks eat up Malcolm Jenkins and that Saints secondary, okay? Keep an eye on Hockenson. If you can grab him in fantasy and Detroit, this Detroit offense will be able to move the football against the Saints. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to look hard at Detroit at home against New Orleans. Any thoughts, Rob G, on Saints-Lions? Anything jump out at you there?
Well, real quick, the thing that stands out to me is the New Orleans Saints, who a lot of team people had going to the Super Bowl. They look like the most complete team in the NFC. I got a fun stat for you. I know you're a big stat guy, so I think you'll appreciate this. In the last 17 drives for the Saints defense,
okay,
they've forced exactly one punt. Now, to be fair, only 13 of those were scoring drives. So, you know, they did stiffen up a little bit. I guess one was on downs, one was an end of half, which probably shouldn't count, and one was a fumble. So that defense, led by former Raiders head coach Dennis Allen, has just fallen off a cliff, and it's glorious to watch.
Yeah, they are struggling. I'm not going to talk about Denver and the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football. I'll probably dedicate Thursday's show to my Jets, who are really going down in a blaze of glory. The Dallas Cowboys. Now, I know I just went after Dak Prescott heavily. The Dallas Cowboys are hosting Cleveland, and Dallas is a 5-point favorite. Now, I know Cleveland is not a world-beating team, and I didn't think they should have been favored by 7 against Washington. I didn't take that. But I'm telling you right now, Rob G., this Dallas defense is going to get trucked by Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Okay, they are going to run all over Dallas. Now, I don't know that they'll be able to stop Dallas, but really watch. If Tyron Smith is out again, Myles Garrett is going to feast on that defensive line. Myles Garrett is playing really well to start the season. I'm telling you right now, I will be looking to back the Browns getting points in that spot on the road. Any thoughts on that one?
Well, they're going to have to be able to run the ball because Baker Mayfield has shown, at least through the last season and a half, that he cannot throw the football with any kind of consistency. So if the Browns are going to be able to cover the spread, and I think they'll be able to cover, I may even pick them to win it outright. I'm kind of marinating on that right now. It's a little early. But the Cowboys' defense is not good. So
yeah,
if you're gonna run on anybody, they'd be the ones to run on. But let me tell you real quick, one that kind of stands out to me looking out early to week four. And we speak to Lamar Mitchell, the head of the MGM Grand Racing Sportsbook, every weekend on the radio show I produce for Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. I'm a company man. The game that we were worried about coming into this past week, week three, was the Jets game because the Colts, I believe, closed at 12-point favorite, something around there. And I've always been taught, you know, what little gambling I do is when you see a double-digit underdog in the NFL, you take the underdog. Because in the NFL, it's almost always the side, you know, the final drive, last two drives, something like that. Already, week four, looking ahead, on this is a Monday morning, the Rams are 12-point home favorites against the Giants. Now, again, everything I've heard is you always bet the underdog, but I'm willing to bet heavy on the Rams to cover that 12. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I've almost sworn off double-digit favorites, but I'm with you. The Giants are really bad at football. Like, they could not move the ball against the 49ers' backups. And the Rams' defense is pretty capable. Like, Josh Allen had a pretty solid day, but yeah, no, I would look at the Rams there. I think this one is really, really interesting. And again, one of my worst misses of the weekend. I hyped it on, by the way, best bet NFL picks 2-1. Okay, I gave out Tampa. I love Tampa right now. I think there's value on them going forward. They are opening as a 7-point favorite against the Chargers. I already bet that. I bet on Tampa. Okay, I like Justin Herbert. He looked good against the Chiefs. They weren't ready for him. There was no tape on him. He got bottled up by the Carolina defense, which came in doing absolutely nothing. They had 0 sacks on the season, 3 quarterback pressures. They sacked Justin Herbert twice. Okay, now I know the Chargers could have won that with the hook and ladder, but the Carolina defense was able to slow Herbert. This Tampa defense is nasty. Go look what they did to Denver and Jeff Driscoll. He never had a chance. I'm telling you, folks, Tampa is, there's still some value because people are like, oh, I don't know, it's 7 points. They're going to beat the Chargers, and they're going to beat the Chargers badly. So that's definitely another game I look at. Any others, Rob G, that you, how about your Raiders? Well, 2.5-point dogs at home against Josh Allen.
I don't know about all that. I mean, not like Josh Allen is, you know, some world beater. I know that his stats say that he's having a great season. He's kind of evolved as a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I watched a little bit of that game yesterday, and he misses so many passes that a good quarterback should not miss. So I think I might let the bettors kind of push the number higher and higher before I jump in on the Raiders.
If you see a 3, I'm all over the Raiders. By the way, the Buffalo Bills can't stop the run. Go look at what Henderson did. Gaping holes that I could have run through in that one. I think Josh Jacobs, granted the offensive line is healthy again, I think Josh Jacobs has a big day against Buffalo. I think the Bills are a little bit overvalued after that one. So we'll dive more, obviously, throughout the week into week 4 games. But now it's time to turn our attention to the NBA because we have the NBA Finals matchup. It's set. Lakers Heat, fascinating matchup that tips off Wednesday night, game 1. It looks like the Lakers are pretty considerable favorites according to Las Vegas. The guys in the desert, you know, they've made the Lakers favorites here, and it's tough to argue. I see Rob G's already pushing his hashtag that's trending worldwide like almost every day now. Hashtag Lakers in 5. That's his baby, and this will be longer than a 5-game series. It will not be that easy. Rob G, the thing that jumps out at me is Anthony Davis has not had anyone who could come close to containing him or slowing him in the postseason. Nurkic, I thought, would be good. Nurkic had no chance. Hassan Whiteside's too slow. The Rockets had nobody. And Jokic doesn't play a lick of defense, and whichever Plumlee brother it was on Denver had no chance. Anthony Davis has been a monster in the postseason. He will run up, finally, into some opposition, and Bam Adebayo. And Anthony Davis is a terrific player. He's experienced. He's obviously more skilled than Bam, but Bam ain't no punk. And Bam's going to make him work defensively. I don't know that they would trot out a lot of JaVale McGee against Bam, because Bam has some dribble. He could take you off the balance. We saw him do that. He took over game six against Boston. This kid is a really talented player. I think he had 32 and 14, obscene numbers. Now, Boston has no bigs, so Bam was able to eat. But I think Bam will be able to at least cut into Anthony Davis, and the Lakers are going to have to find a third scorer. My gut tells me Lakers in six, but because of the Anthony Davis Bam factor, I actually will be betting on LeBron to win finals MVP. I know Anthony Davis has been this postseason their best player. Rob G, we would agree with that. But I think this series sets up for LeBron. I know they have Jimmy Butler to throw at him. I'm not so sure that Anthony Davis will be able to dominate to the level he has, and LeBron will be the guy who steps up and takes over.
I could not disagree with you more.
Ooh.
Again, hashtag Lakers in five. It's trending worldwide. It's kind of weird that I had that every single round, but it hasn't failed me yet, so I'll stick with it. Now, I really like Bam Adebayo, and I've told you this. We were texting off the air last night. I really like Bam Adebayo, but he is, quite frankly, he's just not big enough to handle Anthony Davis or LeBron James anywhere near the basket. Now, he's listed on ESPN.com, and again, the listing stats are never actually what they really are. He's listed generously at 6'9", 250.
That's crazy.
So if you believe that, that would tell you that he's as big as LeBron James, which I'm sure if you saw them next to each other,
that's
LeBron
wild.
Is much
no,
bigger.
No, maybe he's just the length, but he does not look 6'9". Or maybe it was just the Smurfs on the Celtics that he was going up against. Because he looks like a 6'11 to me.
No. He's,
wow.
And then you brought up Anthony Davis, and like I said, I think Bam is a very good player. But he is just not, at this point in his career, any kind of real threat for a guy like Anthony Davis. Where Anthony Davis has issues with is guys who are anywhere between 6'5 and 6'8 and like 240, and they just get inside his chest. And
PJ Tucker.
Exactly. Guys like that. Maybe even a Draymond Green size kind of guy. Like he doesn't like that kind of build around him. Bam Adebayo is built almost exactly like Anthony Davis, just smaller. And he doesn't play that same in-your-chest kind of defense. He plays like Anthony Davis, where he uses athleticism, his reaction time, his speed to cover ground and defend that way. So if and when Anthony Davis and LeBron James decide to go to the basket, they're going to be going against a guy who's smaller than them.
Mm.
So I expect the Lakers to eat in the paint over and over and over and over. I expect them to win the rebounding battle big. And the one thing I do agree with you, though, I'll give you props on this one, is I think LeBron James is set up to be the finals MVP, and I think he's going to win in a runaway. Because yeah. Even with Jimmy Butler, we saw LeBron James do this against Denver. We saw him do it against Portland, not so much against Houston because they switch everything. But he is going to matchup hunt the entire series. So those three white guys in the rotation in Miami, Goran Dragic, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, be prepared to get, hey, screen and roll, bring him out here. It's KCP, you go to the corner. I'm just going to go isolate against Duncan Robinson.
Interesting. That's a great point. I do wonder if maybe Duncan Robinson's minutes are limited to when LeBron's off the court. Because that's definitely coming. I also forgot another guy. Jay Crowder. Now, he really fell off a cliff offensively in this series. He was like unstoppable against Milwaukee, like 43% on threes. He was a huge difference maker. Struggled against Boston. Jay Crowder's another guy that will body up LeBron. He's one of those squatty PJ Tucker type fire hydrant dudes. I did look at the priors, the two matchups between the two teams this year. They actually have not played in the 2020 calendar year. They played really early in the season. The Lakers won handily. And they played in December, and the Lakers won that one as well. But you can't read anything into it. Like, Kendrick Nunn started. Goran Dragic didn't even play in one of the games, came off the bench in the other. Like, Myers Leonard was starting. So there's really, you can't look at the priors and say, well, this happened. By the way, Anthony Davis did, as you said he would, dominate. He had 33-10 in one meeting. No matchup at all for Bam. I think, though, Bam is a totally different player now than he was back in November, December. I think the Heat are going to be live dogs here. Rob G., when you look at the bat, like, who's going to guard Goran Dragic? And I don't scoff at that, dude. He is such a crafty European. That dude gets into the lane, and he was able to eat up Marcus Smart at times. Kemba Walker had no chance. Goran, it's either going to be Goron getting his one game, Tyler Hero's going to have a 30-point game, Duncan Robinson will hit six threes, Bam, Jimmy Butler. That's the thing. They don't really have a true star. And the Lakers obviously have two first-team All-NBA guys. This will be the battle of, can you win in the NBA without a true star? Because you could argue, like, Jimmy Butler's, is he top 15 player, Rob G?
No, he's not.
I mean, I think he's in there. But it's, when you think star, like, Jimmy Butler's a good player. He's an all-star, but is he a star?
I would say he's not. I think he's a very good player. I don't think he's a star. And the one thing that would have been their saving grace had this played its way out through the playoffs is if Miami still had that depth that they had throughout the regular season and even coming into the bubble. But you saw during that series against Boston, they're really only like seven deep. I mean, because Kelly Olynyk, his minutes have been completely just slashed. Yeah. He was getting like 10 minutes a game, if that, during that series. So if they're going to try to run seven guys against the Lakers, because you know that LeBron and AD are going to get them in foul trouble. I mean, their only saving grace to even make it a long series is if they get hot from three.
I mean, Rob G, I don't think you're giving Andre Iguodala enough credit. This is a finals MVP who has guarded LeBron in the finals capably. I know LeBron still got the better of him, but the Warriors won the series. I mean, when you can rotate Iguodala, Butler, Crowder, Bam on the back line, I don't think this is going to be as easy as you think it is.
That's not what's going to happen. You know that LeBron James is not going to go against your best defender. He doesn't right. do that. He just
no, no, but
match if up you, the entire
so,
series.
So let's say you're the Heat and you say, you know what? Our closing lineup is going to be Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, Bam, Iguodala, and Jay Crowder. You're just going to try to match up on Tyler Hero, and that's fine, but we've seen other teams do the switch before the screen can come. Two guys switch on the back. And, you know, he could go at Tyler Hero, and he'll eat against Tyler Hero. Can you do that for an entire game, though, at 35 years old? I don't know if LeBron can do that for an entire game.
Well, the thing is, he's not going to really have to because you still have Anthony Davis, who's been the best player in the postseason. Like, I know that it's because we're picking LeBron James to win finals MVP and because he is the biggest mismatch that you kind of forget that Anthony Davis has been the best player for the Lakers throughout the entire postseason, arguably the best player overall in the entire postseason. So the odds are heavily in the Lakers' favor. I mean, when I looked this morning at the odds, the early morning odds for the series, I think the Lakers were minus 400 to start off with the open. I mean, that's a pretty big favorite, my man.
It is. Playoff Rondo, Kuzmo. Yeah, we'll get to plenty of Lakers stuff later in the week. We just wanted to quickly touch on that. I had this theory, Rob G. I'll just toss this out there into the ether. The Celtics and the Clippers built their teams to battle what the Warriors had. Basically, five guys on the perimeter, switch everything, 3-and-D. Clippers and the Celtics were ready for that. In the playoffs, each of them ran into a team with a big guy that they could not contain. Bam Adebayo absolutely dominated the Celtics in this series. And Jokic, I mean, obviously Jamal Murray was a superstar, but they couldn't contain Jokic. Like, he played Montrezl Harrell off the floor. So, I don't know. It feels like there is still value in bigs, and Anthony Davis is also proving that there is value in bigs, and he's dominating the postseason. So I don't know where the Celtics, I don't know where the Clippers go from here. Do they have to now go and find a big? You can't just find a Bam Adebayo. They don't grow on trees. I don't know what the move is, but something has to be done because those two teams are great teams. They just couldn't contain a big guy and lost.
The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, it's time for the best bet. Had a good weekend in the NFL with the best bet, 2-1. So the best bet is now 22-13-2. And we're going to try to deliver a winner here on Monday Night Football. Really shapes up as the game of the year. And I hope people don't take this the wrong way. I personally have issues betting against star quarterbacks. I don't like betting against Russell Wilson. I regret betting against Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football. I know that you're supposed to bet the numbers and not the quarterbacks and not care about the coaches and not care too much about the spot, but this is a quarterback-driven league. There's going to be no fans in Baltimore tonight. And I just keep looking back at the Superdome and the Saints and unable to really have an impact on Aaron Rodgers. And how is there going to be an impact on Pat Mahomes? And if you're giving me the hook, I'm seeing 3.5 right now. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs getting 3.5. I'll agree with you guys. The Ravens are the best regular season team in the NFL. I believe they probably will have the best record this season. They're built for games like this. Obviously, the postseason has been a different story. Lamar Jackson struggled against the Chargers, and then they had two big, big fourth downs that they just flunked against the Titans, fell behind. Lamar put up big stats, but they were empty stats, and they lost. I know what I'm getting with Pat Mahomes. I do. I mean, I don't know if the Chiefs could stop the run. I think Andy Reid and Harbaugh is kind of a wash. But if you're giving me the hook, and I get who I think is the best quarterback in the league, Patrick Mahomes, I got to take it. So the best bet is the Kansas City Chiefs getting 3.5. This feels like last team that has the football wins, and somebody probably wins by 3. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to bet against Pat Mahomes. I did it in the Super Bowl, and I lost. And I'm not doing it again today. And you know what? I may have a new rule going forward that I'm just not allowed to bet against Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, and I don't. Who else should be in there? Let's see. Maybe I think Aaron Rodgers probably has to be in there because it's just so weird with no fans. I don't think if you guys didn't watch that Saints game Sunday night, like it's just an antiseptic atmosphere. And like, okay, the other team scores, no big deal. Well, let's go on the field and make plays happen. Like, it's almost similar to the NBA bubble where a team gets on a run and they're hot and it's like, okay, we'll call timeout. It's not like the crowds, we're not rattled by the crowd noise during free throws. None of that exists. So if you give me no crowd impacting a superstar like Patrick Mahomes, yeah, I'm taking him. I know they didn't look good last week against the Chargers. And now the Chargers go out and lay an egg. So I'm sure everybody and their mom is taking the Baltimore Ravens. Give me Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs getting 3.5 for the best bet. Hey, thanks, guys, for listening. Big week of shows ahead. Obviously, the NBA Finals start. We will do some Major League Baseball postseason stuff. First pitch Tuesday night. Very excited for that. We'll have some probably some wagers on baseball as well. And we'll see you tomorrow.